in our worship committee, SBRC, one of those meetings, people ask that I come down more frequently and move through the church. And I will. And here I am. And this structure in our Gospel of Mark this morning, the way we have the Jairus coming to ask Jesus about his daughter, and then suddenly this interruption with this woman being healed, and in the meantime, Jairus' daughter has died, but really Jesus heals her, that three-part structure is called a Markan sandwich. And Mark does that in his gospel, the only writer that does that, and I toyed with the idea of dressing up as a waiter and walking up and down the aisle serving you sandwiches that would be Markan sandwiches. I toyed with that idea. I didn't do it, but someone said to me that I should sit here this morning and speak from a stool, and that's what I'm doing. Okay, so the name of my sermon takes the quote of Jesus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." And how many times in our lives do we need to say that to ourselves? Whether we are going on a long trip, facing a medical procedure, going in for a job interview, having a difficult conversation with a family member or neighbor, don't be afraid, just believe. This past week when I was being attacked by a horde of insects, we were camping in our old but new to us motorhome at Tuckahoe State Park, and we pulled into a campsite. It was around 1 o'clock, and it was so peaceful and quiet, and I thought, I'm just gonna lay down. And Sarah said, just lay down for like 20 minutes, you know, get refreshed. And as soon as I lay down, Sarah had gone out for a walk, this radio started blaring loudly, just out of nowhere. And I thought, oh, gee. Well, Sarah, it turns out, went over and talked to our neighbor who had the radio blaring loudly. And she was so kind, so patient. I can just imagine Sarah having said something to the effect of, okay, don't be afraid, just believe, you can do this, be kind, be generous, be loving. And she was, and the radio got turned down. And we moved to a different campsite. But it was a beautiful example of an opportunity for a person to say to themselves, don't be afraid, just believe. And so, what a beautiful summer morning, right? The sun is shining, the flowers are blooming and sparkling, the hydrangea are going crazy, the birds are singing. And so, in this joyful time, surrounded by the beauty of creation, let us take a moment and consider. We are dead. We're dead. Dead. I don't say this lightly. Reverend Robert Capon reminded me of this when I read this quote from him this week. Jesus came to raise the dead. And the only qualification we need for the gift of the gospel is to be dead. You do not have to be smart. You do not have to be kind. You do not have to be anything. You just have to be dead. That's it. Dead. That's not something we often think about. I can't be dead. I just subscribed to Netflix. And I can't be dead because I've never told anyone that my beloved Aunt Matilda's ashes are in a coffee can in the kitchen, and what if somebody makes coffee when I'm gone? So good morning, dear dead people. Dear God, please come into my heart and mind. Let these words of my mouth lift up this your beloved community. with grace and peace, knowing that they are living everlasting lives, having been touched by Jesus. Amen. You see, our scripture this morning, on the face of it, is about two miracles, right? The bleeding woman is healed, the daughter who dies gets raised up, but really it's about life and death and resurrection in Jesus. And in order to have resurrection in Jesus, we need to die. Jesus came for the dead, not the living, but he gives us eternal life. What an awesome gift. And if you notice in the gospel, Jesus referred to the woman who was bleeding as daughter, and to Jairus' daughter as daughter. And one woman was a destitute, older woman who had spent her savings trying to cure 12 years of bleeding. And the other was a young girl whose father was rich and powerful. And yet Jesus called both of them daughter. Daughter. Do you remember several weeks ago when Jesus' family invited him back home and he started to preach and they kept trying to pull him in the house because they didn't want to get in trouble with the religious authorities? And Jesus at that time said, "Whoever believes in me is my brother and sister." And so by Jesus calling these two very different women daughter, he is telling us that they are members of his family. That we can be members of his family. That the woman whose life was bleeding out of her for 12 years was made alive again. That the girl who literally died was made alive again. And all of this happens in Jesus. You see, the destitute woman had faith. And that's something that was in short supply with Jesus' disciples. The father of the 12-year-old girl had faith, and that was something that was in short supply. So Jesus tells us, do not fear, just believe, have faith. But faith is not about the belief system. Faith is about trusting in Jesus, a trust in Jesus. There's a beautiful novel called The Alchemist, maybe some of you read it, by Paulo Coelho. And he's got this great quote. Paul says, "Don't give in to your fear, because if you do, you will not be able to talk to your heart." When we are fearful, we cannot talk to our heart. We cannot hear our heart. We cannot hear Jesus talking to us in our heart. The woman with the condition of bleeding heard the voice of Jesus in her heart. That's why she pushed through the crowd. That's why she was desperate to just touch his garment. And Jairus, the daughter of the 12-year-old, who was a member of the Pharisee class, and the Pharisee class as a whole did not like Jesus. They were the ones who arranged to have him arrested. Except somehow Jairus heard Jesus talking to his heart. And in Jairus' heart, he heard Jesus telling him that he could cure his daughter, Jairus' daughter, if only Jairus believed. Last week, Sarah and I celebrated our 38th anniversary. And the thing about being married is first you're in love. But something happens down the road. Now, what happens down the road is that you're not only feeling you're in love, but you know that the person who knows who you are still loves you. Now, I know you're going to say, yes, she's got to put up with his sense of humor. But that's not the worst of it. Sarah has seen me in the times that I was just so bad off, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and she has been there for me no matter what. This morning I said to Sarah, I'm not sure what that is, but I don't think it's anything. And she immediately went and looked online to see if she could find out information. I didn't have to tell her, she just did it. You see, the thing that is about Jesus loving us, and we say Jesus loves us, this I know for the Bible tells us so, is that Jesus knows us
and still loves us. And the amazing thing about my marriage to Sarah is that Sarah knows me and still loves me. You don't have to shake your heads about that. Oh yeah, I know, but she's really not. That is what Jesus is offering us. You see, the bleeding woman was considered to be unclean and impure because she was bleeding. Her family shunned her. Her neighbors shunned her. The synagogue shunned her. Society wanted nothing to do with her because she was unclean. And yet Jesus touched her, which made him unclean, but he didn't care because he knew that was just the society's thinking, not the Father's thinking. And when he raised up the girl who was dead, the dead were considered unclean until they were ritualized cleansed. But Jesus didn't care. He touched her because he knew she was clean in the Father's eyes. And so the most astonishing, powerful thing about Jesus' love of us is that he knows us in our good days and bad days. All the things we hope no one ever finds out until 100 years after we die, Jesus has got all those. And he loves us no matter what. And so, yeah, this gospel this morning is about 2 miracles. But it's really about Jesus loving no matter what. And if Jesus can love the unclean, and if Jesus can love the dead, well, dead people, he can love us. That's awesome. I found a poem by a Catholic nun, a sister, and she had an affinity for this bleeding woman. And she just talks about what happens and how the wounds that we have, the suffering that we have, the shame that we have, can in God's eyes be made holy and can bring us closer to God. These are Sister Macrina Wiedeker's words. Once there was a bleeding wound. It was my wound. I yearned to be free of this wound. I wanted the bleeding to stop. And yet, it made me tremendously open to grace and vulnerable to God's mercy. A beautiful believing came about in me, a believing that I have named faith. And this faith kept growing in me, daring me to reach for the what I could not see. And so, one day I reached. And at first I reached for what I could see, the fringe of a garment. But the reaching did not stop there, for someone reached back to me. And a grace that I couldn't see flowed through me. And trembling, I was called to claim my wholeness. And the bleeding left me, but the believing remained. And I never lost my gratitude for the wound that made me so open to grace. Well, those are Sister Wiedeker's words. The bleeding woman came not to see the show of Jesus, because you know, a lot of the crowds that followed Jesus, Jesus was the rock star rabble-rousing rabbi. They called him 4R, or maybe 3R, whatever. But they didn't care necessarily what he said. He knew he was generating excitement. He was doing magic tricks. Yay, showtime. But the bleeding woman and Jairus came not to see the Jesus show, but they came to feel the Jesus soul. And the encounter with Jesus' soul transformed them and healed them and changed them. So Jesus said, "Do not be afraid, just believe." And when we believe, we have that acceptance and love, unconditionally, always available to us. Verna Dozier wrote a book called The Dream of God, and she asked an important question. And I'd like you to seriously think about this. She says, the important question is not, what do you believe, but what difference does it make that you believe? What difference does it make that you believe? I have to ask myself that. I have to ask us that. Royal Oak, beloved worshiping community, we gather in church, we say we believe, but what difference does it make that we believe? Members of this congregation have such beautiful ideas that they share with me about using our beliefs to make a difference. Joy said, well, Martha and Chuck aren't here. And I said, well, it's hard to talk to them on the phone. She said, well, take the sacrament to them. That's a difference that it makes, that I believe, and that they believe. That JR wants to attract families with children. It's one thing to say it, but the difference that makes that JR believes is he sets up a water slide, and a water thing, and a back to school thing, and you're getting your friends to come sing, and Tanya is signing people up to give their gifts to this church. That's the difference that you are making, because you believe. What difference does it make that Bruce believes?
Wait a minute, let me tweak that.
Right. Exactly the difference. That's the difference it makes, that Bruce believes and you can hear me and they see me and everything, and this is this. Makes a difference that Aubrey believes. He made a stand for our podium soon after I got here. Otherwise, you'd be seeing my bald spot. Oops, I didn't want to say I had that. Every time I look down to read the papers. Each of us making a difference to believe. Ebby and Terry, these flowers, are making a difference because you believe. And so, I went down this road. Now I've got to continue it. Carol Ann, every Sunday, talks about the schools and what's happening in the schools, and her faith and belief makes her such a loving presence in those schools in her position as an administrator, and the kids are benefiting from that. And yes, Terry is on our trustees, and Brad is on our trustees administrative board, and that's making a difference in the life of this church, the fact that this has not sunk into the basement by now. That has happened, and Maureen says such beautiful opening prayers. When you do, and participates in joy in the morning. And that is so awesome. And George, it makes such a difference that you believe, because Maureen is so thrilled to have you as her neighbor, and you are such an awesome neighbor, the way you help her, and the way you come here in fellowship. And you are, I know you have a business related to boat stuff, but I see you as an anchor back there every Sunday and just there. I mean, you kind of root me. And that's the difference it makes that you believe. And Barbara, the difference it makes that you believe is you are raising their children, your grandchildren, in faith and teaching them about God and love and charity and giving and service. You are making such differences because you believe. Sue, I didn't forget you. When I got here back in July 2019, there were some questions about people standing up and reading the scripture. And people wanted to stay where they were and read the scripture. But I thought, you know, why not come up to the front and read the scripture? Loud and proud, people can see it. Nobody did it. And one Sunday, Sue came and read the scripture up front. That made a world of difference to me. Every one of you are making a difference because you believe. And I pray that you continue your beliefs. I pray that you continue reveling in the fact that, you know, for dead people, you're doing pretty good. because you've got the love of Jesus lifting you up every day. And so, dear God, help us to seek you. Help us to embrace you. Help us to hear you so we can always hear the words of Jesus saying to us, do not be afraid. Just believe. And lead us forth, making a difference by our beliefs in ourselves, our families, our friends, our communities. In the name of your Son, Jesus.